On Central Time, we've talked a lot about the coronavirus, what the evolving research tells us about it, and how to protect yourself from it. What if you've already had COVID-19? Are there special considerations, maybe specific research you need to know about? We're focusing on those questions and talking about what we know about things like natural immunity and what the Delta variant means for those who've already had COVID-19. You can join in at 608-890-3452. Have you had COVID-19 or maybe someone in your family has? What questions do you have about natural immunity? What about the risk of reinfection? Did you get vaccinated after having had the illness yourself? Are you having a hard time finding answers? And what about long COVID? Have you felt long-term impacts? Call 608-890-3452. That's 608-890-3452. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Ajay Sethi is an associate professor of population health sciences and director of the Master of Public Health program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Ajay, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Nice to be here.
Well, two key words in this conversation are antibodies and then the phrase natural immunity. Can you talk about what those mean and how they fit together?
Yeah, so natural immunity occurs when you've had an infection and you've survived it. Your immune system during that period of fighting the infection builds an immune response, and antibodies are one of the tools that your body has to fight infection with the same germ that you experienced illness for. Antibodies come in all different types. There are a particular type of antibody called a neutralizing antibody that will essentially block a pathogen from eliciting disease down the line if you were to become re-exposed to that germ. And those are the kinds of things we want vaccination to elicit, a neutralizing antibody that'll help people be protected from getting disease.
And this can vary, right, from one disease to another. So one disease you might get and have a really long period of immunity, another disease that might fizzle relatively quickly. Is that right?
That's right. For some diseases, we don't develop really any immunity, and you can get infected again in the future. And for others, you get a lifelong immunity.
When it comes to COVID-19, and we're still early in the game here in a lot of ways when it comes to the impacts of both natural immunity and vaccines. What, so far as you're seeing it, do we know about how long-lasting natural immunity is for people who have been through and survived COVID-19?
When people have had COVID before, you do get some immunity. And we also know this is true because reinfections are generally pretty rare for people who've had COVID before. There's a lot of laboratory-based studies to look at antibody levels in people who have had natural infection. And a broad array of antibodies are produced. In general, they're not as potent, potentially, as the antibodies that are produced when people are vaccinated, but that's not to say that they're not potent enough to protect yourself from reinfection. And we do see that reinfection overall is rare.
Now, yesterday, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky told CNN that people who have had COVID do still need to get vaccinated. And that's current CDC guideline. We have had medical professionals on our show who said, you know, looking at the studies that they're looking at, it looks like natural immunity is pretty good. They may need only one shot or maybe even no shots. These things, you know, the science is still out there. What are your thoughts on the current standards that say, hey, if you've had it, you still ought to get vaccinated?
Yeah, there's some good studies to show that after just a single dose of vaccination in someone who's previously had COVID, that dose of vaccine acts like a booster because you've got immunity from your previous infection, which you survived, and getting that dose of vaccine boosts that memory. And those people actually have higher levels of neutralizing antibodies than somebody who was vaccinated but never previously had COVID. So if I were to sort of rank order the people in our society who are going to be the most protected, I would rank vaccinated individuals who previously had COVID on the top. They probably have the lowest risk for reinfection. Then come vaccinated people who didn't previously have COVID. And then unvaccinated people who had COVID before have immunity, but it's not going to be as durable as the people who also got vaccinated.
And then, of course, the most vulnerable would still be the completely unvaccinated people who haven't had the illness. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Those are the ones who are going to be the most vulnerable and are going to continue to fuel the ongoing spread of this virus in our society.
We're talking to Ajay Sethi, associate professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. We're looking at what the emerging science is about people who have had COVID-19 and survived when it comes to their immunity to the illness, whether they need to be vaccinated. Current guidelines say, yeah, you ought to get vaccinated even if you've had it. You can join in at 608-890-3452. That's 608-890-3452. Do you have questions about this? And are we talking about you? Did you have COVID-19? Have you felt longer-term impacts from it? Did you get vaccinated in addition to having had the illness? Call in now at 608-890-3452. That's 608-890-3452 or email ideas@WPR.org. Ajay, here we are, the Delta variant. We know it spreads more quickly, for sure, among unvaccinated people. How is it changing the experience, the risk for people who have had COVID in the past?
Yeah, so it does kind of depend on when you had COVID. And if you had COVID a long time ago, of course, the immunity is going to wane a little bit the longer ago you had it. But the virus has evolved, and the Delta variant presents a different challenge for somebody who's been infected with a very different strain. You will have that memory if you were reinfected with the same strain, and you do have some protection against Delta. But this is here where the vaccines afford better protection against the Delta variant than previous natural infection. And of course, if you have both, you've got maximal protection.
Another concern for people who have had COVID is we've heard reports and concerns about longer lasting impacts of the disease, sometimes called long haul COVID. Again, still a question I think we're probably investigating now, but what do we know about the people who survive happily but are still feeling the impacts of the illness?
Yeah, some people for months and maybe longer, continue to maybe have a brain fog, experience fatigue. Maybe it takes a little longer for them to regain their sense of taste and smell, or they just report being off for a longer period of time. It's not rare. I mean, there are many people who experience this, and it varies, to a great degree. And this is why it's so important to avoid infection altogether. You just don't want to be in a situation where months after recovery, you feel like you really truly haven't recovered.
Let's turn to mask wearing now for people who have had COVID, but are, especially those who are unvaccinated, but they've had the illness. What are your thoughts on when and where they need to wear masks? Any different from anybody else right now?
Well, the Delta variant is a really different animal because anybody who's carrying the Delta variant, and we know it represents 80-90% of all infections that are out there now, being that it's the most dominant strain, people who are infected with that new variant are just so much more infectious than people who were infected with previous variants, 1,000 times greater viral load in the nasal passages of people who are carrying this virus. So mask use becomes even more important for everybody, just to reduce your risk of being exposed to that high dose of virus that's being expelled from people who have the infection. And of course, people who have the infection, if you have symptoms, you ought to be staying at home anyway and not exposing anybody at all. But we know they're spread through people who have no symptoms at all. And this is why mask use is just really critical with such an infectious virus.
How different is the Delta variant? How big a game changer is it as you see it?
Well, in terms of how highly infectious it is a completely different virus in my mind. So a complete game changer. We're comparing it to the infectiousness of chickenpox. So the original strain of SARS-CoV-2, on average, might infect 2 to 3 people. One person will pass the virus on to 2 out of 3 people during their illness. And with chickenpox, we're talking about a person spreading the virus to 9, 10, maybe 11 other people while they're ill. Because it's so infectious, it just completely overwhelms the immune system for somebody who encounters this virus. And if you're previously vaccinated, your immune system will kick in, but we're obviously hearing a lot about breakthroughs. And it's hard to know exactly how common they are. They seem to be overall pretty rare, but when they do occur, they too also have a high viral load. The Delta variant is just so much more infectious.
But as I'm hearing, Ajay, yes, we are seeing some of those so-called breakthrough cases, which we kind of knew we would with any vaccine. But when we look at the numbers when people are hospitalized and the people who are unfortunately dying of the disease, still very largely unvaccinated people. Do I have that right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where this vaccine remains highly effective and, of course, safe for protecting against hospitalization and worse outcomes, being on a ventilator or maybe even dying from this virus. 97-98% of people who are hospitalized with COVID now are people who are unvaccinated.
We're talking to Ajay Sethi, associate professor at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, with us today to talk about what we know about immunity and vaccines for people who have had COVID-19. You can join in. You can email if you have an experience to share, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. You can have a go at calling in. Looks like we've got a little glitch in our phone lines now. But you can try 608-890-3452. That's 608-890-3452 if you have a question or an experience to share. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation now about what you need to know about immunity, the Delta variant of COVID-19, and more if you've had the illness yourself. Ajay Sethi stays with us from the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, and you can join in. Phone lines are working again at 608-890-3452. That's 608-890-3452. Are we talking about you? Have you had the illness yourself? Did you have long-term impacts about it? Do you have questions, concerns about what long-term immunity might be for someone who's already had COVID, especially with new variants? Call in at 608-890-3452. That's 608-890-3452 or email ideas@WPR.org. Ajay, of course, we're having this conversation as we're seeing COVID case numbers go up in pretty much every state around the country. Big jumps in hospitalizations in particular, especially in largely unvaccinated areas. What are you watching for to see if this is just a sign of things to come or if this is going to level off in the near future?
Well, you know, in countries that experience a surge in cases due to the Delta variant, the rise was rapid and the decline was also fairly rapid, and the spike recedes generally after a few weeks. In India, which was largely unvaccinated when they had their Delta surge earlier this year, late last year, it took about 3 months for it to pass. But in the United Kingdom, it took in a matter of weeks before it receded. Here in the U.S., it probably will recede as soon as it peaks. And the question is, when is it going to peak? And that's something where I don't have that crystal ball to tell you when.
Of course. Well, let's bring on a caller now at 608-890-3452. Christina is with us in Glenwood City. Christina, hi.
Hi there. Thank you. A friend was fully vaccinated the first week in April. He left for vacation in June to Texas and Louisiana for a month long. Came back. He and I were going to get together in July. Had a rapid test. Came back that he was positive. He self-isolated for 2 weeks. Got retested with the standard nasal swab. The results were negative. We're wondering if the first test, the rapid test, could have been a false positive, or could he have just recovered and now his test shows that he no longer has COVID?
Christina, thanks a lot for the call and the question. Ajay, of course, you don't know the particular case here, but is this something that can happen, either a false positive initially, then a real negative test, or a real positive and you get over it and test negative a couple weeks later?
I mean, both can happen. And I'll say the fact that you have a recent test by PCR, presumably, that's negative, that's good. That means that that person is no longer positive for COVID. Whether the rapid test was false positive or a true positive, my guess is that it could be a true positive. We do have this Delta variant that's circulating, and I imagine false positives are going to be a little lower when you're talking about a virus that's fairly easy to detect because there's usually so much more viral load in somebody who's infected. But I can't say for sure what's happened here.
Thanks a lot for that call. We heard from JJ in Madison who says, I'm part of a family that's fully vaccinated and we have plans to travel internationally. We plan on wearing masks throughout our travel, whatever we're in public or indoors. The place we're going is 80% vaccinated and offers no indoor dining options. Can you please talk about your thoughts about the risks? What do you think, Ajay, based on what they gave us there? What kind of risks are there? Are there any other precautions they might take?
Well, there's no such thing as zero risk, but just by hearing the person's sort of description of what they're facing and actually paying attention to local vaccination rates and thinking about the risk, that makes me feel good that somebody who's going to take this trip with their family is maybe going to be more cautious than someone who's not paying attention to the underlying risk. And you can certainly protect yourself. Wearing a mask, keeping distance, having more of your activities outdoors. And I might also say that, you know, traveling by plane isn't necessarily higher risk because a lot of airlines are going to want proof of a negative test, maybe proof of vaccination. And so people who you're traveling with will be lower risk to begin with. I think it's also a good opportunity to think about upgrading your mask. And so if you've used cloth masks, make sure that they are indeed triple layered, got some filtration, no vents. But me personally, I've upgraded to a KN95 when I'm in situations where I think could be higher risk, and make sure that I bought a KN95 that wasn't a knockoff, one that truly is provides the right filtration.
Let's go back to our callers now. Mike is with us in St. Lawrence. Mike, hi.
Hi. A quick question. I heard the doctor just mentioned that it peaked in India, but took about 3 months. It peaked in England a little less time. And my question is, what is a peak? Does that mean that the virus has no more hosts? Or is it the hosts are so saturated that it can't spread itself around anymore?
Thanks for the question. So, Ajay, the peak I think you're referring to is, I mean, we literally saw the numbers going down, but what can lead to the numbers hitting that peak and then going back down?
Yeah, a combination of a lot of things will cause the spread of any virus to start to decline. And in this case with the Delta variant, there's so much more that we need to learn to understand why it comes and goes or why it has come and gone fairly quickly in the countries that have experienced it. Certainly, immunity that people develop after getting infection is a big part of it. It contributes to that so-called mysterious herd immunity that we've been all talking about that is obviously very elusive. But having people experience the infection, develop immunity that protects them from reinfection and maybe spreading it is certainly going to play a role. Behavior is also going to play a role because when we have something catastrophic happening in our community, everybody is aware that it's really necessary to take precautions, and good behaviors and precaution taking kick in as a society, and that also reduces the spread. So in this case, a combination of both is likely to be contributing to why you see this receding. It also could be due to complex dynamics of the virus, and we just don't know those yet because the Delta variant is pretty new.
Thanks a lot for that call. Ajay, it feels like it's been forever, but this is still, in human terms, a fairly new illness. What are the big unanswered questions in your mind at this point?
Well, I think one big question that's on everybody's mind is how long will immunity last for people who are vaccinated? And of course, for people who had natural infection. With time, you know, we'll find out if the rate of reinfection begins to increase. We'll have to understand why that is, and if there's a need for an updated vaccine or booster, then there are, you know, manufacturers, the government's ready for maybe that to happen. For now, that does not seem to be the case, but everybody's kind of waiting to see.
And just briefly, I think I've asked you about this before. At this point, what lessons are you hoping we take home for, hopefully in a long time, the next potential pandemic?
Well, I'll say that when we act collectively, with good policy, good behavior, and just sort of a good understanding of what we're facing, when that happens, we can control pandemics. And when there's disagreement or discord or maybe a lot of misinformation out there, as a result, you know, our society is unable to control a pandemic. And we've seen that throughout this last 18 months.
Ajay, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Ajay Sethi. He's an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us today to break down what you need to know about staying safe if you've had COVID-19 yourself in the past. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., it's The Morning Show with Kate Archer-Kent. Monday at 7, the head of Wisconsin's Department of Corrections joins the show for a look at the future of the state's prison system and what the COVID pandemic has changed over the last year and a half. That's Monday at 7 on The Morning Show. Coming up next, it's news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Then we'll talk about hate crime laws after a hate crime charge filed against a lacrosse man earlier this week. And remember, today was Food Friday, and we've got recipes for you. You can find them at WPR.org/Food Friday. Our guest this week focuses on using grains that might be off the beaten path for a lot of us. Well, I'll speak for myself. For me, buckwheat and barley and cornmeal and oats and sorghum and lots more. You can check out some recipes that you can bake over the weekend at WPR.org/Food Friday. A chocolate chip cookie to start things off. That sounds pretty good. Cheese and cornmeal biscuits, too, while you're there. Check them out and let us know what you think. That's at WPR.org/Food Friday. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come here on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.